Do we need miracles to believe? Today's New Testament readings deal to a very, very large extent with miracles, with signs. In today's gospel reading, for instance, that's all we get. No parable, no wise sayings, no prophecy. We get water into wine. We get a miracle. And the evangelist says that because of this miracle that Jesus performed, his disciples believed in him. The Gospels make it very clear that of those who followed Jesus, many of them did so because of the miracles he performed. Perhaps because they hoped he could perform miracles for them if they were by his side, but also because only someone sent by God could do such things. And when you know someone is sent by God, you want to follow him. But we don't see a lot of miracles these days, at least not in the same way that people in the first century seem to have seen them. In today's epistle reading, Paul lists 9 different gifts that God gives to the followers of Christ. And the first 4 are these: wisdom, knowledge, faith, and healing. And we all have some of these gifts to varying degrees. I know that many of you out there are faithful, wise, and knowledgeable people. And I'll bet there are even a couple doctors or nurses or others in the congregation today who have the gift of healing. Now, the next 4 gifts that Paul mentions are tougher: working of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, and the speaking and interpretation of tongues. Now, these gifts are probably less prevalent in our congregation. And I suspect many of us may be skeptical that they even had them back then. Skepticism of miracles is nothing new. Thomas Jefferson, our 3rd president and author of the Declaration of Independence, hated the miracle stories in the Bible so much that he took a pair of scissors to his Bible and literally cut out every reference to a miracle in the New Testament. Jefferson wanted a Jesus who was a wise man, but not a miracle worker. Jefferson, in that sense, was very much the Greek, desiring wisdom. His God, the God who had established the laws of the universe at the beginning of time, did not periodically override those rules through miracles. And I suspect many of us agree with Thomas Jefferson, even if we're uncomfortable with how he treated his Bible. When we look to the scriptures for inspiration, many of us focus on Jesus' teaching rather than his miracles. We focus more on the Sermon on the Mount than the casting out of demons or the raising of the dead. And yet, we're also like Boris Dmitrovich from Love and Death. We'd love a miracle. We'd love to see a burning bush or the seas part or our uncle pick up a check. I know mine never did. So what do we do with our complicated relationship with miracles? We hear about them all the time from that lectern, and most of us have prayed for them over the years, if not for a parting of the seas, then for a miraculous recovery from illness, or for a relationship to be restored against all odds, or to see someone again just one more time. What do we do about miracles? How we understand miracles is not a pass-fail exam for the membership in the kingdom of heaven. Many good Christians have taken different approaches to miracles over the years. Some believe that every miracle in the Bible happened just as it's written. To the extent that had video cameras existed 2,000 years ago, we could watch them all right now on the big screen. Some take the miracles of Christ to be true in that sense, but those of the Old Testament to be more metaphoric. And still others claim that all the miracles in the Bible should be understood spiritually rather than physically. However we believe in miracles, whether literally or metaphorically, it is vitally important to believe in them. because they teach us as much about Christ as do his sermons. We learn about the nature of God's kingdom as much from the healing of the lepers and the feeding of the 5,000 as we do from the Beatitudes. And the resurrection says more about the love of God than mere words could ever do. The correct way to approach miracles is not to follow Jefferson's approach of simply cutting them out of our Bibles and our lives. However we believe in miracles, we must allow them to do what they are meant to do, to build up our faith and our lives. The English word miracle comes from the Latin word miracula, meaning something wonderful. A miracle is something wonderful that brings us to a state of joyful amazement. And all of us in this room have, at some point in our lives, seen something wonderful, and we have experienced joyful amazement. And that is what those who followed Jesus of Nazareth must have experienced day after day. His healings, his teachings, his resurrection and triumph over death itself. When we hear all of these things spoken of, we are meant to share with his original disciples in that state of joyful amazement. In our day, we may not see a burning bush, or the seas parted, or water turned into wine. But we will see people healed, relationships mended, spirits restored. We will experience joyful amazement. We may live to see our Uncle Sasha pick up a check. And even that would be something wonderful. Amen.